Pastor Derek. We are opening the scriptures today to the book of Ephesians and beginning a new message series. I'm going to read from the broader context of the one primary verse we're going to consider today. That verse is Ephesians 4:32. But we're going to read Ephesians 4:29 through 5, verse 2, just to get a sense of what the scripture is saying here in the broader context. And sometimes we zoom broader, sometimes we zoom narrower. And now in this next series, we're looking at one specific thing, which is one another commands. Let's begin at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says this, is the word of the Lord. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Do you know that there's a list of commands that the Lord has given to us in the New Testament for how we relate to one another at TCC? Very specific instructions for how we relate to believers as a believer. And today we're going to begin a series on the 30 or so one another commands of the New Testament. Of course, these are given in different contexts and always with the rich theology of the cross and the work of Jesus Christ around them. But I think it's important for us to look at the things the Lord says directly for how we relate to one another. I think this is especially important right now. And there are so many things going on right now that threaten to bring believers into discord and disharmony with one another, the very opposite of what the Lord would want to be happening. And so I'm going to be trying to the best of my ability as we look at this text and others to apply these one another's to things that maybe in some ways would be more comfortable not to even talk about. I'm going to try to apply these to things like reopening in COVID. I'm going to be seeking to apply these principles to racial issues. And of course, racial issues now, as we know, the awareness of racial injustice, now it's spawning into a lot of other issues. Your view of history, your view of politics, your view of policing. These are legitimate issues. And yet, boy, we're really getting tested as believers for how do we talk about these things and how do we relate to one another in the way that God would want us to relate to one another. What's on my heart heavily is resurgence of ministry this fall at TCC. And I don't know, how many people are going to feel comfortable coming out to worship. And yet I believe whether you're connecting virtually or you're connecting physically, brothers and sisters, we need to be about resurgent ministry now more than ever. We need to not be pulling back. We need to be looking to the Lord for wisdom. And resurgent ministry is not some programmatic thing. Ultimately, what it comes to is we are connecting with each other. We're praying for each other. We're loving each other. We're communicating with each other. We're building up each other. We're looking to Jesus, ministering to one another for that mission God has called us to. And these commands are vital for us if we're going to be doing that kind of thing. Now, as I step into this this series, I'm aware that I'm a little bit like when I was asked to umpire my child's baseball game. Because I'm trying to call the balls and strikes as best I can, but I know I've got some bias here. And every one of us has some bias, but As a pastor, I take seriously that what I say, and especially what I say from this pulpit, to the best of my ability, Lord God, help me, I'm trying to call the balls and strikes and apply these things in a way that is accurate. I'm trying to the best of my ability, not, although I know I have some bias as a man, as a white man, as a boomer man, as an American, I know I've got some biases. I'm trying to the best of my ability to say, yeah, but everybody that's a part of the family of Jesus is precious, and God help us all to let God be the umpire here, to let God, by his word, speak and direct and guide as it relates to how we relate to one another. So here is the key scripture for today, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Twice in this verse, the Greek word allelon, I've done the best to sort of give the English-sized spelling of it there, of what the Greek is one another. That word is used in these commands multiple times in the New Testament, and what it reflects is that believers in the body of Christ, in a fellowship, have a special responsibility for how we relate to each other, how we respond to each other. And that's what we're going to be looking at, asking God to help us. God is the ultimate umpire to say, how do we, Lord, live in a way that we're treating each other in a way that honors you? And that, of course, is going to foster things that please God. We're going to be seeing the relationships be that which glorifies God. We're going to see the church be what God wants it to be. We need God's help, but we need to take note of what are these specific one another commands. That's the series, One Another's. Today we are looking at four specific one another commands, and we're really framing these around one big idea. Here's the reality for us as believers. Every one of us, as a forgiven Christian, relates to every other true Christian beneath the cross. I want us to remember this. You know, the world and what they have and what they say, and sometimes it's true and sometimes it's not true, they do not relate to each other, nor do they relate to any one specifically from that vantage point. We relate to one, and we must remember this at all times, we relate to one another as a community of believers, individual believers in this and that, and issues that we deal with, whatever our racial background, our age, our economic background, we always are relating to one another as fellow believers from beneath the cross. And we need to allow this to shape us. This is where the vertical, our relationship with God impacts the horizontal. This is what I mean by gospel-shaped living. Not just that we believe the gospel and proclaim the gospel, yes, but that gospel that we believe and proclaim, it shapes how we relate to one another. Every one of us in all the aspects of our relationships. And of course, God's word here then gives us some very specific direction. Today we're looking at four specific one another's: kindness toward one another, tenderheartedness toward one another. We talk about what that means. Bearing with one another. We're going to again talk about what that means. Tenderhearted and bear with are sort of the mature Christian response to sort of normal everyday variety stuff. And a Christian, a professing Christian who is harsh and like, hey, buck up, bucko, sort of attitude to people, that's not a mature response. Christians should be the kind of people that are trying not to offend because they're tenderhearted. On the other hand, a mature Christian should not be easily offended because they're bearing with. I'm offended. I'm offended. I'm offended. You're offending me. I'm offended. Well, that's not Christian maturity. Mature Christians are not easily offended. So we are quick to be tender toward not offending. And at the same time, we're quick to be tough toward not being offended. And we bear with others. We're like, oh, man. Yeah, okay. Well, that's, We'll give him some grace for that. We'll give her some grace for that. We'll bear with this, and we'll talk more about that. Now, there are obviously big time issues, problems, sins, injustices. You can't just tenderhearted your way through those. You can't just endure and like, okay, I'm gonna get through this tough one. Just kind of deal with that. The only way we can deal with those is forgiveness. To extend forgiveness, as we have been extended forgiveness. And of course, this one another list includes that Christians would especially forgive one another. We're commanded by God to forgive everyone that wrongs us and every wrong against us. But especially that we would forgive and freely forgive and be characterized by a spirit of forgiveness toward one another. And of course, that flows from the reality of the forgiveness we have received. And that's what I mean, Christian community from beneath the cross. Christ's death for us shapes how we respond to other believers. That's what Ephesians 4:32 is saying in its context. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you, Ephesians 4:32. If you look at a few verses later, Ephesians 5, verse 2, the same idea. We are to live in a way that reflects the death of Christ for our sin. As Christ loved us, of course, Christ continues to love us, but the preeminent example of his love is its finished work on the cross, and that's what, when it says Christ loved us, past tense is pointing to. The display of his love, which was secured our redemption by his sacrifice on the cross. And so we are to walk in our lives, in our relationships with one another in a way that reflects that profound sacrifice and gift. One of the things that the book of Ephesians is about is racial and ethnic reconciliation. A lot of times people think, well, where does this thing come from about reconciliation? That's something made up? No, actually, true reconciliation is only found in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's why the church has the opportunity, but we need God's grace and strength in this, but we have the opportunity to put that on display. My heart for Trinity Community Church is that we would put on display what Jesus has secured for us on the cross, which is that he has broken down division. And in the context of Ephesians 2, it's division between Jew and Gentile, but this is all division. Division of race, division of ethnicity, division based on age. We got generational, we've got gender, we got all kinds of division. And what the world wants to do is fuel and fire that division. And what the cross provides is that which brings us together. For he himself, Jesus Christ, is our peace, who has made us both one and broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. So we need to live that out. And that's what these one another commands are about. Now, I shared earlier about the odd experience of being an umpire at my child's own baseball game. Let me switch the analogy to another kind of sports analogy. Bear with me here. But back in my basketball days, when you played a pickup game, you didn't have a referee. No one was there to call fouls. And if you played some ball, you probably didn't know. It's like, who's calling the fouls? So one way of doing that is to have the team that believes they were fouled call the foul. You fouled me. Or you're traveling, right? And what tends to happen in this, if you played some ball, you know this, is it doesn't go that well. There tends to be a lot of contention and argumentation, sort of like what we have right now around a lot of these issues. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. You fouled me. I don't know. It was a clean block. I don't know. So I remember a handful of occasions with a bunch of good guys who were willing to be honest and play it clean, even though they played hard. This approach worked much better. The one who makes the foul calls the foul. If I travel, I call traveling on myself. If I'm trying to block the shot and I hack your arm, I say, oh, I'm sorry. It was my foul. I hit your arm. It was not a clean block. I want to suggest, brothers and sisters, that if we as Christians are primarily looking to call the fouls on one another, things will not improve. But if we are before God, on the basis of the Word of God, by the power of the Spirit of God, are willing to call the foul on ourselves, things will improve. We'll be a part of fostering this beautiful Christian community Jesus has secured for us. We'll relate to one another from beneath the cross. Forgiven believer to fellow believer, one who has received much love to one who is redeemed and loved much by Jesus. And we will see something profound and beautiful and God-glorifying in our relationships with one another. Whether that relates to COVID-19 and reopening and not sort of holding back in our own little shell and keeping away from each other, whether that relates to differences and backgrounds and how we go, you know what, you're really different from me and I'm going to love you and relate to you and grow in relationship to you. Or whether that relates to this desire I have, I believe God wants us to see Trinity be stronger than ever this fall. I believe God is calling us to be more engaged with one another, more committed to ministry, not holding back just because COVID is complicating it. And part of that is not just saying, hey, I believe that, let's keep believing in Jesus. It is to get engaged in fulfilling these one another's. So let's talk about being kind toward one another. What this means is to take action. It's not just withholding that which is wrong. That's sort of the standard of the world. Like sort of generally don't do any wrong to anybody. And of course we shouldn't do any wrong to anybody. But as believers, we should be taking action, and particularly action related to other believers. Action to give good, to do good, to connect, to bless. We got to think more about this. How do I take action to give good, do good, connect, and bless? With my brothers and sisters at Trinity, with somebody maybe at Trinity that's different from me, with somebody who sees politically things different than me, with somebody who sees the COVID reopening and the mask wearing thing different from me. We can easily go down a track where we're all about just sort of our positions and lacking kindness toward one another. There in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another. Actually, in the Greek, that be is an imperative command. It's present tense. So it's like always and continuously, you are commanded by God to be kind to your fellow Christian. And we may gloss over that and say, of course. Let's not gloss over that. That's not often the norm. Kindness might be taking time to show an interest in somebody. Kindness might be slowing down to listen to somebody. Kindness might be getting out from that shell and saying, hey, I'm pretty comfortable here watching these videos of church. Well, guess what? That isn't church. I'm glad you can be connected virtually through the worship service, but how are you connecting relationally? Kindness is connecting relationally somehow with a phone call, an email, a prayer, a reaching out. Be kind to one another. God, of course, has been kind to us. That's why we are saved. And we are called then to be kind to one another. I'd like us to maybe, just in terms of kind of this issue, think about somebody at Trinity we know who's really different from us. Just try to get a picture in your maybe age, maybe racial or ethnic background, maybe perspective, politically or whatever. Just somebody who's really different. Let's try it. Let's just, okay, he or she, really different. Now, what might kindness look like for you toward that person? We can't, you know, we don't have the time and the bandwidth to do with everybody, but take some action towards somebody. Think about and act upon that which is kind and giving good, connecting, blessing somebody who's different from you. And let's talk then about tender-hearted. Again, let's all try to call our own fouls here. There's so many different applications, whether it relates to our differences, whether it relates to the resurgence of Trinity's ministry, but think about being tenderhearted toward others. As I said earlier, it is not a Christian virtue to sort of have this, you should be able to take whatever I dish out, and if I say it, and that's just what it is, and I don't care about how your feelings might be impacted. Because we should be making compassionate allowance for the hurts and weaknesses of others. That's what tenderheartedness means. We shouldn't be, as mature Christians, easily offended, but we should be, as mature Christians, trying not to unnecessarily offend. And especially when it's around hurts or weaknesses that people have, that I believe is the point here, where it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. The tenderheartedness is certainly in that context of making allowances for the weaknesses of others. And it flows from your guts. That's the idea. From compassion. Flowing from compassion, you make allowances for the hurts and weaknesses of others. And of course, if we're going to be quick to say, your motive is this, that isn't tenderhearted. In fact, the Christian virtue, I would say, is to give grace, that the motive of others are good unless otherwise it is clear. Unless the clear words or behavior otherwise, when you say something, I don't say, oh, that means you're this, with a bad motive. That's not tenderhearted. Now, people come from different backgrounds, different experiences, have different perspectives. So what do we do with that? Well, I believe it's a little bit like if you sprain your ankle, if I could use that analogy. The rest of your body kind of goes, yeah, that ankle's hurting. I won't put so much on it. The other ankle will take the weight. The arms will take the weight. I'll kind of make some allowances and accommodations because there's a sore spot there. There's a hurting spot there. So where we perceive that another believer, a fellow believer, based on their experience or for some other thing, their perspective, life journey, different than ours, rather than be like nailing them, we should be tenderhearted. And this, of course, is not to excuse wrong. It's not to say that what God has said is not what God has said. It's just saying that there's an attitude, especially on those things that are not clear issues, where we are making accommodation, helping others out, or the sense of deferring and encouraging that looks to relate to one another from beneath the cross. Let's look at bearing with others as well, because sometimes the words or behaviors of another person, even another Christian, cause you some degree of difficulty. And what should we do with that? And I want to suggest that this passage is saying that a lot of times you should endure it. Don't react. Don't go off. Don't make accusations. There is a place in Scripture, and here, Ephesians chapter 4, we see it. I want to point to it in two places. It's connected to Ephesians 4:32 in its context, but not in the exact verse. But this idea of bearing with means to endure or put up with someone. Think of that. You and I are always, in relating with one another in the body of Christ, needing to endure or put up with somebody in a godly way. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 gets at this. And this enduring or putting up with somebody in a godly way is one of the things that expresses love. It's one of the things that fosters and maintains Christian unity. If we lose the ability to endure and put up with one another, we're, as Paul said in the book of Galatians, you're going to be biting and devouring each other. You're offending me, that offends me, you're offending. And we're just going to be pushing away from each other constantly. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 says, with patience, bearing with one another. That's that idea of to endure or put up with something. And here in the context, it's a person. It's a fellow believer that said or done something that is not pleasant to you. I picture it being a little bit like a hot summer day. Sometimes our behaviors and our words, unknowingly, hopefully, can cause somebody some degree of discomfort or pain. And what do you do with that? Well, with a hot summer day, you've got kind of two options. Either you can really be miserable and complaining all the time, or you can kind of take that attitude, you know what? It's a hot summer day, and I'm just going to deal with it. I'm going to press on. I'm going to endure. I want to suggest that as Christians, there's a lot of times with a lot of issues, not all of them, because some definitely are bigger and need to be dealt with only through forgiveness. But a lot of times you just say, you know what? He doesn't get it. She's dealing with her own stuff. I don't have to, you know, go off on this thing. I'm just going to bear with this. I'm going to endure it like a hot summer day. And I'm not going to get caught in complaining. I'm not going to lose sight of the Lord, and I'm not going to stop having a heart to connect with my brother or sister. There's a parallel passage in Colossians 3 that's a lot like Ephesians 4:32 that includes this bearing with word. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive, Colossians 3:13. Same Greek word. To endure in a godly way. To have a long fuse as a Christian. That's a sign of maturity. Now, I want to make clear that I know there are real injustices. There are real offenses. There are real hurts of a grave nature that although we should continue to love and pray for others, no amount of tenderheartedness or bearing with is adequate. Believers, I believe, in general, should be quick to be sensitive not to offend others unnecessarily and hard to offend. But there are things that are gravely wrong, hurtful, unjust. And what do we do with these things? What do you do with somebody who throws words or accusations at you? What do you do with behaviors that are just flat out wrong? Well, the Bible gives us direction. This is not something that maybe we want to hear, but is something that is what we need to hear. We need to release the person from the debt, the relational debt of the wrong that is owed to us. We make a pattern of releasing people from the relational debt of the wrong that is owed to us. And I submit to you, this in Scripture is unilateral. That means, you may say, if they're not repentant, they don't say they're sorry. Yes. Now, if they repent and say they're sorry, it's beautiful, because then there can be reconciliation. Reconciliation is bilateral. Forgiveness for the believer is a command of God that should be unilateral. When somebody does wrong to us, and especially when they're a believer in Jesus Christ, we are responsible to release them from the wrong. We should forgive all who wrong us and freely forgive, but especially from beneath the cross. That's the point of Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Notice that. Forgiveness from believer to believer when there's wrong of that believer to the other believer. Why? As God in Christ forgave you. How? As God in Christ forgave you. We relate to one another from beneath the cross by extending forgiveness and doing so graciously, doing so freely. The communities of believers that are relating to one another beneath the cross in this way are communities of believers that are growing together and coming together and reflecting more and more what God would want in a way that puts the gospel on display. And community of believers that are resistant and saying, no, I'm not going to extend forgiveness, then you know what? We're going to stay stuck. We're going to not be that different from the world. We'll believe stuff, but we don't show that we believe stuff in how we live and relate to one another. That forgiving one another, that word contains the word grace. That beautiful Bible word. The Greek word for forgiveness here in this verse contains that word. In other words, unmerited favor. It's not because you're excusing it. It's not because you're saying they deserve it. It's because God has given you unmerited favor and you extend unmerited favor in forgiving as God has forgiven you. Believers are forgiven. God forgave you in Christ, past tense. And then they forgive others, present tense. We've experienced that forgiveness when we believed in Jesus because of his finished work on the cross. That is something we have. Now we extend that forgiveness horizontally, having received it vertically. We extend it day by day, relationship by relationship, issue by issue. And this then relates to all of those issues, all of those relationships, everything about how we relate to one another in the body of Christ. That Colossians 3:13 I mentioned with respect to bearing with also has this forgiving word, same Greek word, freely forgive. And here in Colossians 3:13 it says, if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. Must. It's a must for forgiven believers when we have a complaint against another believer. So whether it's a hurt, words that are spoken, whether it's something they did intentionally or unintentionally, whatever it is, one thing we know for sure, we must forgive. We must forgive, and especially toward our fellow believer, brother and sister in Christ. So this whole forgiveness thing is really, really big in the Bible. And we've been talking quite a bit about the horizontal, but of course, we've been talking about the horizontal based on the vertical, God's forgiveness of us. I want to ask, as we move toward closing, for those who are here and for those who are listening, have you received God's forgiveness? Do you have the eternal forgiveness of God that's been secured by the finished work of Jesus Christ? This is not something that comes based on behavior, based on works, based on how hard you try, how kind you are to other people, et cetera, how religious, how sincere, how much you're all about helping others, whatever. This comes only as a gift by God's grace. And Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 just sums it up beautifully. For by grace you have been saved. For everyone who has been saved, it's by the grace of God. Saved through faith. For anybody who is saved, it is through a personal response of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not your own doing, then. This is not based on how you treat other people, how sincere you are, et cetera, religion or morality. This is based on the gift of God. God gives it. And if you haven't taken this step of faith, I want to encourage you to take that step today. It is only by grace, it's only by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, it's only by faith that this is received. Take that step today if you haven't taken it. And if you have, live like you have. Let God's forgiveness shape you and how you relate to others. We are a community that has. Let's live like we have. Let's let that grace and forgiveness shape us, our relationships, that we would be characterized by profound kindness toward one another. Yes, toward others as well. That we'd be shaped by profound tenderness of heart toward one another. Yes, toward others as well. That we would shape by bearing with one another, enduring in a godly way. When we hear things or receive things that kind of feel like ouch. And for sure, as freely forgiven, let's freely forgive. And especially one another. Let's let the cross, God's grace to us, shape our lives and our community. Let's seek for Trinity Community Church to be all that God wants us to be, as a place where those barriers are not being built back up, but we live in a way that recognizes Jesus has broken them down. Let's respond in a way that we're not pulling back from ministry and relationships with one another. Even with the difficulties of COVID, we're pressing into God-honoring ministry and connection to one another. This is what the cross calls for. Let's pray. Lord God, we so need your help. And we're so grateful for the finished work of Jesus that secures forgiveness. And that work that brings your lavish kindness and love to us, Lord. May it move us to extend kindness, tenderness of heart, bearing with others, and even extending forgiveness where it is needed to one another in a way that reflects that you have forgiven us. Your great love for us, Lord, let it shape our lives and Trinity Community Church. Let us be those who look to fulfill these one another commands, Lord. Fulfill them not only relating to those who are different from us, Lord, but fulfill them in pursuing active community here at Trinity Community Church in this season, Lord. And give us courage, give us creativity. You know how we can do that in a way that even if the limitations of this time and the pandemic, Lord, make that more difficult, God, by your Spirit, we pray that we would do it and do it well. Help us to be shaped by you and your gospel, to relate to one another from beneath the cross. For your honor and glory, Lord, we pray this and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close.